ZeroDebt100.com.
What does Hurricane Irene have in common with Congress? Both are dreaded. There's a new poll out that shows there's an all-time high hatred of Congress. I mean, hatred. People are angry. Also, Irene. Oh, if Irene would just go away, a lot of people would be happy to have a nice weekend without a nasty woman packing a serious punch flying through their neighborhood all the way from North Carolina and South Carolina, up the coastline, perhaps to Maine. At least that's the latest. I just looked at the radar. I am one of those nutballs now that has a little radar screen. I know you can relate, because you're all the same, in the corner of my computer so I can constantly check it. Nothing has changed. I needed to do that because I wanted to reassure you. Nothing has changed, unfortunately. So, odd time for this to happen, too, because there are a lot of things going on that have to be postponed, including the dedication, the official memorial of the Martin Luther King Jr. Monument in Washington, because guess what? Washington is in the middle of this, too. A lot of people are actually heeding the advice of getting out of the coastal areas, and they're leaving. There were tourists in North Carolina that cut their vacations short. There are people in other beach coastal areas in South Carolina and further up in New York and whatnot, who have decided that they're not going to chance it. They're just going to get out of the way of Irene and go further inland. So you're starting to see some of the backups at the tunnel areas and bridges and whatnot. A little bit of a backup in Norfolk, Virginia. Love Norfolk, Virginia. Spent a lot of time there when I was a kid. And there's a place called the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. With that hurricane bearing down in that direction, all you see is the taillights. People are getting out of the way. Because here's the thing, when you're Norfolk and they're telling the Navy vessels that they're going to go out, the subs, the aircraft carrier that was there, and several other vessels, they're leaving port, so why do you want to stay there when you're watching that happen and that's all you're hearing people talk about? Sadly, this could be a perfect storm, but not a perfect storm for the people who are in the middle of it. I said that it could go all the way up the coastline. That's certainly the way it's looking. Seven states have declared a state of emergency. The governor of North Carolina, Bev Perdue, and Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, both didn't mince any words when they said this is serious stuff, ladies and gentlemen.
Hurricane Irene now looks like she may have a bigger impact on North Carolina than what we expected this morning.
This is cynical about this. A tough and cynical guy is up here telling you not to be cynical. And not to think you're too tough.
All right. So I'd say they're concerned. They see it. They've been informed, and they're passing it along. The possibility is 140-mile-an-hour winds, maybe even a little bit more. In watching the exact satellite, it really could slam into Charleston. I've got friends in Charleston. I know they're concerned about it. And they're concerned, certainly, in some of the other areas like Virginia, as I just mentioned. And the National Hurricane Center is saying that we've got a warning flat out for North Carolina from Little River Inlet north to the Virginia border. And it includes some of those sounds in between. So Cat 3, Irene, is turning, churning, and moving northward from the Bahamas. It's going to parallel Florida, Georgia, and the South Carolina coast Friday, and it's going to hit land in North Carolina on Saturday. Probably 65 million people to 70 million could be affected by this. Amtrak, The airlines, they're canceling flights already. They're putting them on a watch list anyway. American Airlines canceled 126 flights on Thursday, mostly out of Miami and the Bahamas. That made sense because of what happened in the Bahamas. And there are a whole bunch of other things that are being canceled as well. The Outer Banks, they're going to get the first brunt of this. And even some of the more metropolitan areas there, even though it's going to pretty much hug the coast, what you're going to see is the eye, if you will probably go close to that. They're going to have certainly a storm surge, and the water levels will probably go up maybe as high as 10 feet above the ground level with the hurricane warning. And that's where you get all that flood, and that's where it's really destructive. And the waves, can't even think of the waves. I mean, they're flat-out life-threatening type waves. They're saying this with the Delaware Bay and Chesapeake Bay and Sandy Hook, New Jersey. They've all got hurricane watches, too. So we'll see. It's just one of those, it's all you can do is wait and see and get out of the way. That's it. Let's hope the storm doesn't hit, but you have to do everything you can to be prepared. And I think it was smart of those governors to declare a state of emergency. So 7 states of emergency because of the possibility of power outages, impassable roads. Do I have to describe it to you more? Have you ever lived through this? Down trees, flooding. It could be nasty. Could be nasty. Some people not taking any chances. There are mandatory evacuations. And that's where we're at here in America tonight. I always say we're at the crossroads of pop culture and water cooler buzz, and this is the buzz. There are jokes being made about it. Then there are the serious sides of it, and that's what people are talking about. Sometimes you'll see, and especially in places where they're used to hurricane warnings and watches and stuff, and I'm not kidding because I have family that live on the coast, they say sometimes they'll throw hurricane parties and have kind of a final toast before everybody gets in the car and they leave. Because if you're right there near that wall of water, that's what they're going to do. They're going to wait until they have to, until they know there's just no way this is serious stuff and they're going to get out of there. And I think some people are even getting ahead of it this time around. They're deciding, yeah, I'm going to step out of here sooner rather than later. Besides the hurricane, the rest of us across the nation are sick of it. We're tired of it. And even though they have gone away, they're not far from our minds. And what am I talking about? Congress. We just can't let go of it. I mean, it's just gnawing at so many of us. And it truly is. And you know how I know that is because in my own personal conversations, people who have nothing to do with talk radio, that some of them have no idea even what I do for a living, aren't pontificating to me because they think, oh, she's a talk person, so let me talk to her. They have no clue. And they go off and off in all kinds of directions about Congress and how they're sick of it and they're tired of it and they want to replace people and they don't understand how we got in this situation and how we seem so lost as a nation. And I've had 3 people say that word, lost. Do you think we're lost? That's a good question to throw out there, I think. Chew on that. Are we lost as a nation? Or are we just going through a rough patch? 800-259-5791. There's the digits. You can use them. Throw in your 2 cents. Coming back to, we're going to take you through some odds and ends. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
About whether or not I should bring up this story, but I'm going to bring it up because, you know, there's no secrets here in America tonight. We just spew it, right? All of you call up and you vent, and that's the way we roll here. I happen to see this. So somebody sent me a link to it, and it's probably been posted a bunch of different places, and it's from a blog. It's from a blog from the Marine Times, and Military Times, and this section is the Marine Times, okay? So in the piece that's posted, what they talk about is when you're in Afghanistan and you're trying to win over the people, the Afghan culture, extremely different from our culture. But one of the things that the Marines have been asked not to do, because it's a problem, is that they have been banned from breaking wind because it offends the Afghans. Seriously, they've been told not to do that. They're not supposed to do it because it could be, they say, because it could be, it's like a misunderstanding. It's like they're not supposed to curse. They can't talk about politics, of course. They can't stray their eyes toward any girls that would seem or have that conversation that would seem impolite. You know, basically they can't communicate because they don't know the language, so there is a huge barrier there. But give me a break. As they're telling the Marines, look, Marine, it's a serious business out there. You do not break wind around these people. Men, I ask you, I know it's toilet humor, and I usually don't go there. I know. But come on. They're risking their lives. These poor guys, they're risking their lives. And now they got to hold it in. Doesn't matter. You got a stomachache. Hold it in. Don't do it. It's a serious offense. And it's offensive to the Afghanistan people. I'm just thinking out loud. I wonder what they do. What do they do? I don't know. But that has to rank up there with some of the crazier things that I've heard of lately. It definitely fits into my little segment that I call odds and ends. It is one of those. It is. Hey, we know that you're risking your life and horrible things have happened around you, and we're scared to death of a roadside bomb. And even though we have some better equipment and all that other sort of stuff, the idea that they're not allowed to have a bodily function. And I know there's something about the breaking wind category that is so male and is so often portrayed in movies. But in this case, it's just, I don't know. I think it skates on the edge of ridiculous, I'm just going to say. Just, it does.
Well, considering how much lentils play a fundamental role in the Afghani diet, I have to imagine this gets a little difficult in country.
Yeah, good point, Donovan. He's the wise one here. He's the brains in the operation. He's right. That's lentils. Think about it. So it makes sense. What do you think? What do you think's happening? Oh, well, ridiculous. Chalk it up to nonsense. More nonsense to deal with. Let's move to a couple of other things, too, as well. These I'm not afraid to bring up. Not that I was afraid to necessarily go there, but moving along to something else that's creating some buzz around the country is this idea of Apple is tanking without Steve Jobs. He is irreplaceable. He is the Buddha. Yes. Speaking of not wanting to do anything to upset anybody around you, people didn't want to upset the legend of Silicon Valley, because he is that. Think about it. He's the wise oracle. There's no doubt. When he resigned, it sent ripples through that community. Apple is Steve Jobs. Even though he had a partner, Steve Wozniacki, who was part of the deal. They started the whole thing. But he was the face, and he really was so much of the brilliance of it, too. Just 55, and he's had all kinds of serious, serious health issues. But think of the iPad, the iPhone, all that stuff. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and I said, and of course, there's all kinds of devices you can use, the Blackberries, the Androids, you know, pick a flavor. But in our everyday arsenal, I bet you, and I don't think this is an exaggerated number, I'm going to say that 75% of us, and maybe that's low, I'm saying 75% of us have an Apple product. We have an Apple product in our life, at least one. We might even have more. What kind of computer do you use? Are you jonesing for an iPad? Do you have, I already said, the iPhone? I bet you got at least one thing that came from Apple. So with Jobs not being the main guy and Tim Cook stepping in and people worrying because he's the man, he's the person, all that sort of stuff, they're trying to calm down investors. I think that down the line there will be some problems at Apple. He was the trendsetter. And yes, there are smart people on their staff there, but with the rate of technology and the way it's moving, I think there is still something about his Midas touch that is irreplaceable. You know, they say that there are many ways to fill a man's shoes, but I think he's going to be pretty tough to fill his shoes. So we might create a crack for other companies out there looking to get the edge. That's how important he was. Dan in Texas, hello. Hello, Dan.
Sorry, babe. I had to put down my headphones.
I gotcha.
Okay. Now, this dyslexic atheist was losing sleep every night. He was just in terrible, terrible shape. And finally, he comes to the conclusion that there might be a dog.
There might be a dog? We are losing you. I think you have the same cell phone coverage that they got in Washington when they had the earthquake. You got to call us back, Dan, because I'll lose that punchline. I can barely remember punchlines, let alone through crackling cell phones that are falling apart. Hey, speaking of that cell phone stuff, you know, the FCC is looking into what happened there because people couldn't, I mean, the cell phone coverage just went out. What happened? The towers went down? I don't think so. Someone has some explaining to do, and they're doing the investigation, asking some questions, because people wanted answers. Why is the cell phone, why is it down? It's not jammed, so what's made that happen? And I wonder, that's not good, because you think of the lifeline that a cell phone is in a case of emergency. What a cell phone was 9/11, when people, of course, there you had so many people trying to get through that you did have a situation where things were jammed, but some people did get through and they were able to tell people, I'm okay, I'm headed home, I got to work late, so I wasn't in a building, I wasn't, you know, down near ground zero or whatever. Or last conversations with people. That's what happened, sadly, in some of those buildings. At least there were some goodbyes. You know, that's something that some of the people on the planes wrestled with when they knew what was going on, whether or not they should call their husband, their wife, whoever, to say goodbye, because they knew that it wasn't looking good. So if you don't have the cell phone, for all the crazy things that happen with the cell phone, you wouldn't have that conversation. You wouldn't be able to have those final moments. And I think that's pretty sad. Or for that emergency use, which brings me back to my point of we have this earthquake and then we have cell phone problems where people cannot get through and they don't know really. They're just assuming what's going on and trying to figure out and running around trying to figure out what's happened. I have a feeling Dan is back with us because his cell phone coverage, we know what's going on there. The FCC doesn't have to investigate. So we're going to get the dyslexic joke in just a second on the flip side. Stay with us.
Energy, energy, and more energy. We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild Chagan birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild Chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need. You deserve it. Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Welcome back to America Tonight. We'd love to say goodnight to Irene, but she hasn't come yet. It's getting close to the shores of North Carolina. Should smash into them on Saturday, unless there's some kind of a fateful turn. We go back to Dan in Texas. We're going to let him double dip this time because we know he is going to just wow us with this punchline and this joke. Hey, Dan.
Okay. This dyslexic atheist was pondering the fact that there might be a dog. You have such a lusty laugh. I just love it. Okay. This guy survived the stock market crash of 1929, but he bought on margin, and so he was wiped out. So he was going home driving his Rolls Royce, chauffeur-driven Rolls Royce, and he got to his place, and oh, my God, the fire department was there. His place had burned down. His wife and kids were gone. They perished in the fire. And his chauffeur said, well, sir, since you can't pay me and you're broke, I quit. And the banker was there to tell him, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but you bought this thing on time, and I'm taking your rolls. So he just was all dejected, left, and he was all bummed out. He was gone. And he was all the way to San Francisco. He was surviving down there in a bum town. And everybody's talking about what big deals they were. He said, you're all liars. I used to be somebody, and I'm going to be somebody again. So he cut a freight to Hawaii. He met a girl there working the docks and everything, and he married her. And told her she happened to have a whole bunch of land. So he invested in pineapples, and in 5 years' time, he was a multimillionaire all over again. and he's flying around in his helicopter looking at everything, and suddenly a tidal wave hit and wiped out his plantation and his home and his wife and kids, and he was ruined again. And so he landed the helicopter on the beach. He got out and he pounded the sand and cried out, said, "Why me, God?" Suddenly his booming voice said, "I don't know. There's just something about your face that pisses me off."
I like that one. Dan, you have a good weekend. You get that crummy cell coverage. Wow, that was funny, though. I hope you all could understand that. Did you get the punchline there at the end? I think you did, right? All right. So moving along from Dan to a couple of other things, including this just awful story about a casino in northern Mexico. Boy, it makes you not want to go to any part of Mexico. You know, this was a conversation that we've had on the air many, many times about what's going on there, right? So 24 guys with guns burst into this casino, and they doused it. I mean, listen to this description. They doused it with gasoline, and then they started a fire, and it trapped the people inside, the people that were gambling. It killed 53 people and then injured, you know, about a dozen or so more. This was a casino in Monterey. And Monterey is a place, boy, you just do not want to be. You talk about drug cartel violence. It's the capital of that. Why would you want to go to Monterey? And I always come back to this, but isn't it interesting? Ever since Mexico's president, Felipe Calderon, decided, I am going up against those drug cartels, made big announcements about it back in 2008. It's been nothing but misery and heartache for the people of Mexico. Now, granted, some of them are probably complicit with the drug dealers and they're making money there, and there's things that are related to these different gangs of cartels. But, you know, still, those people that I cannot believe that all those people were directly involved with the cartel. Some of them certainly weren't. They were just randomly there. I guess what the deal is, and it makes sense because it's about heisting the money, they extort the casinos and the other businesses, and they say, listen, you either pay or you burn or you die. So they threaten to attack them, burn them to the ground if they don't pay, and that's what they did. When they went into the casino, they went in to rob it, but then they started to throw all that gasoline around and set it on fire. So the idea was you decided you weren't going to do it, so we're going to show you. And the attackers told the customers and the employees to get out, but some of the customers and some of the employees, I guess, were so petrified, they went further, deeper into the building, and they were trapped. So you had flames and smoke, and, you know, there's your description. And they spent the night just trying to remove all the bodies from there, and a lot of them were people that worked there, and how awful is that? And just try to get the people inside, they were using backhoes and trying to dig out walls, and wow, awful. And this was an extortion play. So not anything connected to drugs, more connected to the money. It's like in the old days where in New York you either paid or you broke them. And when you got them broke, that means your digits, your hands, they would just break your hand or break one digit, go after another one. And then people were afraid, and what were the shop owners going to do? They could barely speak English. They were in a position where they felt lucky they were even had a shop set up or whatever, and it was some nasty stuff. The old school mafia, and it's like Mexico now, the drug cartels, is not about leave the people alone around us. It's about we're going to just take. And I think Calderon is only seeing the tip of this iceberg. I think it's going to get that much worse, and honestly, that much worse in Mexico. So when I started the hour, I was talking about the fact that a new poll shows that we just flat out don't like the politicians. We really don't. Not very many of them. And we can't let go what now has happened, the economic nightmare that we're in at this point. So having said that, you know, quickly I'm going to tell you about this one thing I found out today, and some of you might have seen this too. It's not a surprise, and we've had people on from think tanks that have talked about this, but 80% of the people who are making the laws, who represent us, don't have much of a background in business or economics. So now we are trying to get out of this recession, and a lot of the people who we elected are struggling with figuring all of that out. Only 1 in 5 members of Congress has any kind of an academic background, even in business, 1 in 5 in business or economics. This is also part of the problem. I say this all the time. Bring in the economists. Get more of the consultants there. That's what we need. And so maybe they're starting to do that a little bit more. Donald in Minnesota, you have the floor. Hey, Donald.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm peachy up here.
Good.
A friend of mine told me that the I'm trying to check this out and see if it's true. A friend of mine told me that the Obama administration has renamed Mineral Springs, Virginia, where that epicenter of the earthquake is, and they're calling it Bush's fault.
I knew you were going to throw that out there, but that was good. Bush's fault. Yeah, they can't blame that on him, can they?
Well, they'll find a way.
That's good. That's funny. That was a good one. That's usable. All right, Donald, we give you high marks for that. It's funny that he called in and told that joke because it was going to be one-liner Friday, but because of everything going on with Irene, I decided I was going to boot that to next week, so next week we'll have one-liner Friday. But that was a pretty good one. I would, if he was on stage, some people say, oh, that's a master of the obvious. I would give him a 1 to 10 scale, I'd give him an 8. I'd give him an 8. Maybe that's generous, but at least a 7. You know what was good about that joke? Donald knew the punchline, told it, boom, and that was it. Jokes that have all those windy twists, although Dan in Texas is good at that when his phone service works, are hard to remember. The easy ones is like a comedian that was trying to teach me how to work a room better, how to do one-liner jokes even better. Just boom. There's a rhythm to it. 1, 2, 3. Boom, boom, boom. And that's exactly what he had there. Well, there's no rhythm to what's going on with Irene. That's what we started talking about, and we can't get away from it because that's the path that we take here on America Tonight. What interests all of us, and this does interest all of us because a lot of us have family on the East Coast. If you're not there listening to me now, and with 65 to 70 million people being threatened by it, that's significant, I would say. And the fact that you're talking about stretching this hurricane from North Carolina to New England and a Cat 3, that's a nightmare scenario. That is a nightmare waiting to unfold. And when we come back and do our show on Sunday into Monday, I am hoping when I crack open the mic that I have good news or decent news versus it's a catastrophe and we talked to this person and we went here and we did this. I hope that's not the case. And there's some kind of a weird twist with the radar shows that it's going off in a different direction. But smart of the states, you know, we all learned our lesson, I think, after the catastrophe in the Gulf Coast with Katrina, Mississippi. I think the state of emergency got to be right on top of that. And so 7 states have done that. All the states, it would be obvious up and down the East Coast and New Jersey and New York and whatnot, so that they've got people that are on the ground, boots on the ground, the National Guard, because that's what you need when you're combing through neighborhoods. And this is the first hurricane that's threatening New York in, like, decades, because even other areas that have been hit by the hurricanes, New York, very, very rare. We can count coming up next.
We'll be right back. Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
I like to see you right across.
Time for another edition of Weekend Counts. It's all about the numbers. Absolutely, it's about the numbers. How about this for all of you Michiganders listening? How about the Bars? They are promising that they are going to ban politicians. Seriously, then what they're going to do is, how do you do that? You just look for that familiar face. Hundreds of bar owners in the Great Lakes State say they're going to deprive anybody who makes the laws from coming into their bars because they're protesting the smoking ban. The group is called Protect Private Property Rights in Michigan. They claim they have more than 500 bar owners statewide that say, absolutely, we're going to blacklist all of them. And the idea is they're going to persuade the legislature to at least revisit the ban. It kicked in last year, and a lot of people in Michigan say they want to smoke. Why can't they smoke at their treasured watering holes? So they want to get the discussion started. I think they're going to lose this one. But businesses say that they've lost millions of dollars because of the smoking ban. Once it kicked in May of last year, that a lot of the small bars closed down because of the ban, and that there were, you know, the sale of alcohol, food, and lotto tickets, all that stuff dropped off. It was smaller. Wow, who knew a cigarette could do all that? The American Cancer Society, they pushed for the ban big time, and they say, go ahead and try it because we'll just keep opposing it, any move to revise that bill. And it's just foolishness to try to undo it. Well, it goes back to that whole thing again. Tobacco versus, you know, anti-tobacco, pro-tobacco, the reality of now smoking bans. This is our life, smoking bans. It's just like in, and I don't even smoke, but it's just like in New York City where they ban smoking. And I get that in the restaurants, absolutely. But, you know, the bars, the smoky bar, where you go to watch the game and you just want to drink some beers with your buddy. And so you have the horrible habit of smoking. But all of us have some Achilles heel. Let's be honest about it. Whether it's eating, whether it's drinking, smoking, whatever it is, I find it hard to believe that everybody listening to me is just a perfect human being and they don't have what some would consider a little bit of an addiction, a habit, a something. So it's, I can understand about the smoking thing. I don't smoke and I don't, you know, want my house to smell like smoke, but I get that people who smoke cigarettes, I mean, what you're, they're being banned from everything, and they're certainly with those kind of bars, they're going to the bars. I can see how it would. Oh, I know I'm just going to get so many letters on this. I can see how it would affect these kind of bars in Michigan. Have the smoking ban would affect some of their business. I don't think it's chasing everyone away, but I bet it's chasing a lot, because if that's your thing and that's your habit and that's what you do, and you have to, what, go back to your car and smoke a cigarette, well, before you can go back into the bar that used to be the smoky, cool bar joint that you hung at? I mean, I get it. But they're not going to win that battle, because there's no way they'll reverse it. No way. I'm more sure of that than anything else. It's not going to happen. Not. All right, this is apparently going to happen. And we got to mention this, too, because this is breaking news, so it fits into We Can Count. The Prime Minister of Japan, Prime Minister Kan, who's been in office, I guess, 15 months or so, has announced just a short while ago that he's resigning. He's had terrible approval ratings, and most of that is because of how they handled the tsunami and the nuclear crisis that followed at Fukushima. So he's stepping down as the chief of the ruling Democratic Party and ending his reign, if you want to call it a reign. This was expected. Now they're going to vote Monday for a new leader who is going to become Japan's sixth prime minister since 2006. Oof. Six? I don't know. That seems like a lot, doesn't it? Under the circumstances, though, and because of all the political infighting and all that other sort of stuff, and rebuilding the country from triple disasters, the yen, the problem with the yen that's happening, and, of course, the economy in general and all kinds of things that they're talking about with their energy policy, whoever steps in, it's a tall order, to say the least. But that's a pretty short reign to run a country, 15 months. Wow. All right, moving along to yet another precious gem in this edition of We Can Count. You know, we were talking about our politicians, and we were talking about you know, where we're headed with the economy. Fannie and Freddie, they say, and this has been discussed a lot, it's jobs, jobs, jobs. Everybody wants to know. I mean, where are the jobs? What's going to happen with the jobs? And I'm going to tell you something I found out a couple of days ago that you'll find interesting. They say that Fannie and Freddie, and this we've talked about with people on the show, are probably what's going to happen is they're going to be part of the whole Jobs plan that the president is going to announce, because he's going to do that economic speech thing, right? And this has been rumbling around for weeks, that when he comes back from vacation, he's going to try to reinflate the housing market, because this is killing us. We know that with the bogus mortgages and the foreclosures and all the things that happen, it's just been a bust. The mortgage delinquencies are on the rise again, and here's your number, for the first time since 2009. And banks, with the loans and the problems they're having, they're worried about regulations and the weak economy. So they're reluctant to make any kind of loans, and this is the problem. So it's minimal loans. So you mix that all in with everything else, and they're envisioning this administration anyway, an $85 billion, they say, instant stimulus, because people with poor credit would see their rates drop dramatically. But to be able to do that, to tweak the housing market, they're saying they need to take over Fannie and Freddie. Why not? Let's take over something else. Why not? Because remember, it was cheap loans to people with that couldn't afford it that blew everything up in the first place, right? That's what happened. Why did that happen? Greed. Wasn't it Gordon Gekko from the movie Wall Street that said greed is good? Greed in that case was not good. So we'll see what ultimately Obama comes up with in the bag of tricks, but it's looking like Freddie and Fannie, and that's probably what we're going to hear about. Here's a way to jumpstart everything we're going to pump in. You know, it's going to pump in all that money automatically. Coming up, we've got that anniversary of 9/11, the 10 years since, and it's with a very heavy heart for many of us that we approach that milestone. I'm going back to New York the week after that, and I just read about something where they're talking about this ring of freedom that they're going to honor, and I'm so happy about this. The people that went down in Shanksville, Flight 93, if you remember, and so much focus is on New York and a little bit on the Pentagon too, but I'm glad that they're doing something extra for the people that perished there. And apparently they're going to really have something that people can come and see, and visitors will understand what they're looking at when they look into an open field. That there'll be more, you know, where did the plane crash? They're going to have more presentations, a memorial that overlooks that site, something that's permanent. And bravo, because I think that needs to be there. I think people need to mourn and need to have a place to go or a place to see. So now they'll have that once this is built. They say people are going to be able to walk onto a plaza that kind of zigs and zags along the area where the people were found and give it that feeling. That memorial, by the way, the Flight 93 National Memorial opens on September 10th.